Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Rams Mailbag. I'm Miles Simmons, joined by JB Long. As always, we need your help to do this show. You can send us your questions there in the comments on Facebook, or you can send them to us on Twitter at Miles A. Simmons. So let's just get right to it. I'm sure we've got a bunch. Matt, first question.
From Chinaski, will Gerald Everett have an expanded role in the offense this season, especially in the red zone?
I think so, yes. And I think one big reason is because of the red zone presence that the Rams clearly need now that Sammy Watkins is in Kansas City. Yes, Brandon Cooks is slated to be that starting X wide receiver, but I mean, you can just look at Brandon Cooks versus Sammy Watkins. You know, the size factor is not necessarily the same there. So I think that when you're talking about, you know, especially the red zone production, Gerald Everett could be one of those pieces.
I have a couple candidates for most improved Ram in 2018. A couple of them are on the defensive side of the football in Samson Ebukam, maybe Corey Littleton. But Gerald Everett, if I had to say right now, is my leading candidate for most improved Ram in the fall.
Why is that?
A lot of the reasons I think you mentioned, and I would add to it the fact that by reputation, tight end is one of the more difficult positions to come in and contribute to immediately as a rookie in the National Football League, especially for someone that has Gerald's background, I think, where he was playing basketball at a pretty high level until deep into his prep career, and then transitioned through so many collegiate programs that I'm not sure he's ever had the consistency in terms of coaching and regiment and system that he will have in terms of continuity from year one to two with Sean McVay and the Rams.
Yeah, I think you look at him, you can tell that he is an athlete. He has that kind of receiving ability. As you said, by reputation, tight end is one of the most difficult positions to adjust to when you're going from college to the NFL. So I think that with that year under his belt, he really could start to excel in 2018.
We said that the tight end position was going to be partly responsible for replacing Sammy Watkins. Now that Brandon Cooks has arrived, that may be true to a lesser extent, but I still think it's true. I still think for this offense to be as good or better than it was a season ago when they led the NFL in scoring, a lot of that will be contingent on the improvement and the contributions that the tight end group makes.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, back to you.
From William, are you guys confident in the projected starters at linebacker this year? And if so, which one do you think will have the best year?
Well, it's an interesting question because at this point, I'm kind of not even sure who the projected starters are at linebacker, especially inside linebacker. Outside linebacker, I think we can say, I don't necessarily want to say confidently, but you have Samson Ebukam on one side. He would ostensibly replace Connor Barwin there. He did that for a couple of games in last season. And then also on the other side, you have Matt Longacre, who would ostensibly then replace Robert Quinn. So those are two guys who at least have a little bit of NFL experience. And you still do have Mark Barron at inside linebacker, but in terms of that other spot left by Alec Ogletree, I mean, Corey Littleton would be a candidate. Also, Ramiq Wilson, who came from Kansas City in that free agent deal, that's another candidate there. So Wade Phillips said last week he thinks there's probably going to be six more linebackers to fill out the 90-man roster. When we see who some of those guys are, I think we'd be able to answer the question better.
I think the position group has the longest way to go in terms of settling into the 53-man eventual roster, but my confidence lies in the Rams' ability to get there eventually. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's there right now, but I think between the draft and then also training camp, the availability of free agents in August, I think the potential is there. And the flexibility is there, too. Look at what the Rams have done with that linebacking position in recent years, taking converted outside linebackers to inside linebackers, safeties down to linebacker. It doesn't necessarily need to be a plug-and-play with someone who delivered at that specific position in college. They might just see the physical skill set that matches what they have up front at defensive line and behind them in the secondary and match skill sets to roles.
And if there's anybody I think you want kind of making those evaluations, it's Wade Phillips as defensive
and
coordinator.
And Coach Barry, too, and then charge that position group. There's a lot of skill identification potential there.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, back to you.
From Dwayne, are the Rams not really concerned about Connor Barwin shopping around, or would they like to sign him again, or are they waiting until the draft?
Well, I think part of it, and, you know, there were reports that came out that Johnny Hecker has restructured his contract, giving the Rams a little bit more cap space. There's only a certain amount of players and money that you can spend in order to continue to add players. So I think at this point for Connor Barwin in free agency, you got to start going to different teams and shopping around and doing things like that.
My guess is it probably has more to do with Connor Barwin and his representatives and what they're looking for than necessarily what the Rams have available or their interest at this standpoint. But the good news about Connor is whether it's now or over the summer or even at the very last minute or even midway through next season, he already knows what will be asked of him, and the Rams know what he is able to contribute. So it's not for us to say that his career as a Ram is finished or that he's destined to come back. But the potential is certainly there because of what he has already done for this franchise in 2017.
I absolutely agree there, JP. All right, Matt, back to you.
From LA Rams UK, what do you guys think of Morgan Fox, a guy that seems to have been lost in the DL talk with the Sue signing but was a solid contributor last year?
No, I like Morgan Fox a lot, and he's a guy that I think has come up in sort of conversations a little bit maybe more internally is, okay, you've already got now these three kind of studs on the defensive line now with Brockers, Sue, and Donald, and then what's behind them? Well, I think Matt Longacre, you know, obviously on the outside, but then you have somebody like Morgan Fox, who did play on the inside of the line and I thought played pretty well in that rotational role last year. I think he's going to be an important part of this rotation.
Was it the Minnesota preseason game, the fourth preseason game in 2016
yeah.
when he kind of burst onto the scene?
Yes, he showed up and showed out.
Yeah, that'll always stick with me. I think Fox is a great example of it's all fine and good to talk about what the two deep looks like now in the spring, but what it actually proves to be going into the regular season and then how it plays out in terms of depth and the required bodies that it takes to get through a 16-game schedule. The Rams can't get to where they want to go in terms of repeating as division champions and putting themselves in a great position for the postseason without contributions from the likes of a Morgan Fox.
That's true.
Because the Rams have been the healthiest team in the league for 2 years running. By all means, let's go ahead and make it 3 years in a row. And the strength and conditioning staff and all the tools they're utilizing has played a contributing factor in that, but so has good fortune. And I think it's unreasonable to think that the Rams will be the healthiest team in the league again in 2018. It would be unprecedented.
Yeah.
So how are you prepared from a depth and a training standpoint to compensate for what will surely occur on the field in 2018?
Well, Morgan Fox, definitely a big part of that. Another guy coming back from injury, Dominic Easley, has signed with the Rams once again. So he could be another pretty important depth piece, excuse me, easy for me to say. And I think he did that pretty well back in 2016 as well, backing up Aaron Donald.
You're going to need options, especially along that defensive line.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, back to you.
From Mario, any concerns about the future of the center and tackle position?
Concerns? I wouldn't go as far to use that word at this point. I think, is it something that maybe should be addressed in the upcoming draft, even though the Rams, you know, first pick comes in the third round? Probably, because those guys aren't getting any younger, and I think McVay put it like this. They're not guys that the Rams are looking to replace right now, but it would be a good idea, probably, to start thinking about the long-term future of both of those positions.
It's not just center and left tackle. I mean, there was a span of time where the Rams devoted a lot of draft capital and consecutive drafts to the offensive line, mm-hmm. and then they kind of took a hiatus from that because they felt like they had the pieces they need, and they were able to add someone like Andrew Whitworth and John Sullivan in free agency. Now, two things. One, the age, which is, I think, driving the question at center and left tackle, but then also the contract status maturing of Roger Saffold and Brown and Havenstein.
Yes.
I mean, really, all five positions are going to be question marks moving forward for a variety of reasons.
That's true.
So do the Rams feel like they have the prowess to develop from within and replace some of them if necessary because of injury or attrition or contract or aging out? Maybe. Will they have to supplement that group through other means between now and Andrew Whitworth's retirement, let's say? Of course, they will absolutely have to.
Yeah, and I think there were some things last year that we saw that were positive in terms of that depth. I think you look at the way Austin Blythe played at center when he had to step in for John Sullivan a couple of times. Sullivan did start, you know, all 15 games mm-hmm. that were particularly consequential in the regular season for the Rams, so that's one thing. But Blythe did have to come in for a couple of spots there, one obviously in San Francisco when the Rams played the San Francisco 49ers, and then I think the second...
London.
Yes, was in London against Arizona. I couldn't remember if it was at Arizona or in London, but that's a guy I think that you've seen. The Rams have said, okay, this is somebody that we can train to back up at these positions. And so maybe he's somebody that in the future could step in as a starter.
Eldron Camp and others, and you know, there's these offseason workouts, I think, are instrumental for the development of the offensive line, especially going into a second year with Aaron Cromer and a scheme. They can start to match pieces to roles and to fits, and then also, like I said, supplement through draft and free agency to make sure that that next wave is ready to take over.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, a couple more? One more?
Two more. This one from Juan. How does the addition of Brandon Cooks help the offense?
Well, I think the biggest thing is he slots into that X receiver spot, and that was a spot that is vacated by Sammy Watkins going to Kansas City. So he will likely start there. You know, you have him there, you have Cooper Kupp in the slot, and then Robert Woods on the opposite side. So just that in and of itself brings a starting caliber wide receiver who has averaged 1,100 yards receiving and 8 touchdowns over the last 3 seasons. That's a big addition for the Rams offense.
I think you got 3 number ones. Now, they may not be thought of as number one receivers like Odell Beckham might be across the league, but in their respective roles, there are few candidates to do what they do better than Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and now Brandon Cooks. And the way they complement each other, the way they solidify that core, and then you add in pieces like Mike Thomas or Farrell Cooper or Josh Reynolds behind them for specific packages. And then don't forget about the best receiving tailback in the game potentially in Todd Gurley, yeah. And it all fits together. I think the skill group that comes back for the Rams has the potential to be as good, maybe better, than the group in 2017 that led the league in scoring. Brandon Cooks, for me, it's going to come down to a reliable route running, rapport with Jared Goff, and can he compete in the running game the way that Sammy Watkins did. If he does that, I think he has a chance to be an improvement over Sammy Watkins, no disrespect, in the other categories I just mentioned.
Yeah, I think that competing in the run game is especially important because a lot of people talked about how Sammy Watkins can kind of dictate and determine coverage on that back end because of what he is as a vertical threat. But if you look at the film and you see Sammy Watkins, you see him competing in the run game. A lot of those long runs, those long screen plays that Todd Gurley had, you saw Sammy Watkins making a block downfield. So that's going to be definitely important too.
One other area I think this bodes really well for Brandon Cooks and his skill set is I think his yards after catch will go up because the Rams receivers were among the league leaders in that category and also making plays at or behind the line of scrimmage. The Rams were among the offensive leaders in the NFL in getting it done in that kind of screen game you're talking about. Mm-hmm. He meshes beautifully, I think, and that's probably one of the reasons why Sean McVay was after him, not just this offseason, but the one before.
Right,
as well.
I mean, also, you speak of plays behind the line of scrimmage, that jet sweep action that we saw so many times, that's something else that he can do there in the backfield. All right, Matt, last one.
From Julio, will the Rams draft another running back like a change of pace running back?
Ooh, well, as DeMarco likes to say, the only thing better than one great running back is two, and I think we saw the way that can work with New Orleans last year. Will the Rams do that? I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to predict what is going to happen in the third, fourth, and sixth rounds where the Rams have their picks right now.
If a prospect they're really excited about happens to be there when they have the opportunity to draft him, I don't think they would hesitate just because Todd Gurley is the offensive MVP of the league. But will they reach for that position given some of their other areas of need and the confidence that they have in Malcolm Brown behind Todd and maybe even the likes of Justin Davis? Not necessarily. I don't think there's any reason to believe that they would be seeking another running back necessarily.
Yeah, it's interesting. When this draft begins, you know, you're going to have, at least in theory, unless the Rams trade up, 87 players or 86 players come off the board before the Rams are on the clock. So that's a lot of players. It's really hard to predict the way that's going to go, especially, you know, when you're in the middle to late round of the third round. So that's that. It's so hard to know where they're going to go because I think almost any position could be addressed in these spots.
That being said, I feel like the fan base, the populace, has kind of given up or exhaled on the 2018 draft because the top picks for the Rams have been dealt away.
Yes.
I don't subscribe to that. I mean, there are double-digit starters on this roster and nearly half of the projected 53-man roster who came into the league at or behind the position in which the Rams will make their first selection of 2008. It was 87?
Yes, 87.
There's still a ton of potential with the draft capital the Rams have to make very strategic moves, either to advance and move up the board or to take calculated picks and find potential starters, if not 53-man roster candidates.
Well, Les Snead said this last week. The Rams found two starters in the third round last year in Cooper Kupp and in John Johnson as safety. So this is something that they want to do again. They want to be able to make sure they get an impact player in that round. That's tough to do, especially 2 years in a row, but it's the task that the Rams have set up for themselves.
Can't wait to see who they pick.
Yes, it'll still be fun. Look, we're not necessarily going to have much to do on that first night, April 26th.
Thursday might be quiet, but
yes, but Friday we'll at least have one pick, at least as it stands right now. So, okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this edition of Rams Mailbag. I want to remind you, Behind the Grind, our Facebook Watch show, will premiere tonight. Its third episode on Facebook Watch. You can check that out at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Did a big profile on Aaron Donald, went to Pitt and got to talk to him, see the dungeon where he started. It's not really a dungeon, it's the basement of his dad's house. I felt like that came out a little weird, but anyway, that's where he started lifting weights, and that's where he started really becoming the man who he is today. So you definitely want to make sure you check that out. For JB Long, I'm Miles Simmons. Thanks for tuning in to Rams Mailbag.